Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let them on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they sink sardines. Will be strong into the sea. Thank you.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Take him, Bowson. I mean that. Take him.
Well, strange times indeed, it seems. Nothing is as it should be, or if you're a Liverpool fan, as you expect it to be. I mean, Everton beating Liverpool at Anfield last week.
Really? What are you laughing at?
Well,
welcome,
welcome to the Keys and Gray podcast. I am Richard Keys. This is
Andy Gray.
And forgive us for a little self-indulgence this week on the pod. When your co-host is a toffee legend, then what else can you do? And to compound that, we shall very shortly be joined by another. It's not all Everton, I promise you, but for the most part, in a week that's been an extraordinary for the football club, why not? Anyway, thank you for taking time to listen. Do subscribe on whatever platform that you get your pods on. That way we can just appear ready for you when you want to listen. Follow us on Insta and Twitter at Keys and Gray Pod. Spell it out in its entirety, Keys and A-N-D Gray Pod. New listeners every week, Andy, from all over the world. I think only respectful of us to say specifically hello to them. So here we go. Another little quiz. Where am I? I am one of the oldest nautical heritage sites in the world.
Oh, no. Wow.
Bit like you, Andy, this place is very expensive. A pint will cost you on average 10 British pounds. I have an opera house.
Well, that could be anywhere.
Where you can climb on the roof. No, not Sydney. My beauty is helped by a fjord or two. Vikings built my past. The answer, of course, is Oslo in Norway. And I suspect that's got a lot to do with the fact that Jan Åge Fjørtoft was our guest a couple of weeks ago. So, velkommen, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Velkommen. Takskar duha. That is, thank you to all our friends in Norway. And you're very welcome. Now, normally we'd have...
And if there's any... Just a minute, Richard. If there's any in Sweden... I would like to say tack to Mickey. That means thank you very much to Swedish.
Normally, we would talk for 15 or 20 minutes and then introduce our guest. But I have to hold my hands up. We're recording Thursday night. I promised him that we would call him about 8 a.m. US. I've got my maths slightly wrong. So he's been up since 8:30. Time now in Minnesota is about 11:30. And our guest is...
He should be up at 8:30 anyway. What's he on about?
At Minnesota. He is another legend from Goodison. Adrian Heath, Inchy, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you too?
We're good, but I'm slightly embarrassed.
Very well, Inchy.
And I'm very apologetic. Sorry.
Inchy?
Yeah.
Inchy, why are you not up at 8:30 in the morning? Why are you complaining about getting up at 8:30? You should be up, fella.
By the way, I was at work at 8:30. Don't worry about that.
Excellent.
I was up at 6:30 or 2 foot of snow, minus 20 degrees, and still out and about.
Is that true? You've got 2 feet of snow at the minute?
Yeah. This is the, you know, a bit difficult this time of year, but it makes up for it spring, summer, and fall. But I've got to say, it is pretty cold, guys.
I'm fascinated, Inchy, by your new lifestyle. Give us a flavour of what life is like.
Well, obviously, I've been here 13 years now in the States. I made a conscious decision that I thought the game was going to take off in the US, which it has, which it is, still growing. And I wanted to be a part of it. You know, I'd had the disappointments of the Coventry situation, and I still believe, Mr. Keyes, I should have been given the job.
100%. But, yeah, you know my feelings on that. I concur entirely. Yeah,
so, yeah. So the timing of it was that I got the opportunity to go to Orlando. We turned that into an MLS club. We had an incredible success in six and a half years.
Hold on. All too quick. We turned it into. I mean, What was it when you got it?
Well, we didn't have anything. You know, I remember saying to my wife and my son, let's go to America. We've got an opportunity. And my son, being as football crazy as I was, he went, what's the team called? I went, we haven't got a name yet. Where do we play? Well, we haven't got a stadium yet. Have we got a training ground? Well, we haven't got a training ground yet. So that was what it was. It was basically a sort of pipe dream, if you like, from the owner, who was Phil Rawlings, who was a director of Stoke City, and he's been in America for many years. So we decided to have a go at it. But anyway, we started to make it more and more successful at the sort of USL level, which is sort of championship, first division level. And eventually we won the title a couple of times, and crowds started to get up, and eventually MLS took an interest in it because obviously there was no other team in Florida at the time. And this is pre-Inter Miami. And it went incredibly well, you know, opening day, 66,000 people there.
Wow.
And they've built their own stadium now, and it's gone well. And so obviously the Brazilians took over, and then it started to change, and they decided they want to go to change of direction, and we sort of left the MLS plan halfway through the 3-year project. And then I ended up here in Minnesota. And I have to say it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I have been able to do what we set out to do, which was build a football club from completely nothing. And when I look at the training facility I'm in now, I look at the brand new Allianz Stadium, the fact that we've got the academy up and running now. So you imagine, Andy, Rich, you've been in the game a long time. You've followed it. Not very often, Andy, do you get the opportunity to start at the very bottom and go, this is what we're going to build. And that's what I've been able to do, mate.
Well, listen, have you not missed a bit out, Inchy? What happened to the... Did you not go to Austin, Texas and work there for a while?
We started there. We started in Austin, but we moved after a year and a half to get to Orlando. Because when we spoke to the MLS was saying, listen, if you are seriously about turning this into an MLS franchise, as they call it, you've got to look south of DC, because there was nothing. There was nothing down there. So we ended up in Orlando. And as I say, that was 6.5 years, which was incredible. We built a really good club. And then, you know, basically have gone through the same process here. And, you know, if you look at the progress we've made from year one to two to three to four, you know, and last year we made the Western Conference Finals. We got to the sort of Open Cup, which is like the FA Cup the year before. So we're doing things really well. We're really pleased with where the club is, Andy, you know. So onwards and upwards, but we have to keep pushing it. And if we keep doing what we're doing now, we're going to make sure that this is a, you know, perennial club that makes the playoffs and is competitive.
It's an extraordinary story.
I get the impression, Inchy, that you've made your mind up, you're staying there and you're not coming back. Would that be right?
Yeah, I think so, Andy. You know, I've been away that long now. Where am I going to start if I went back home, you know? And when you look at some of the clubs in the lower leagues, I think some of the coaches there do incredible jobs under incredible circumstances. You know, the pandemic's probably hit the lower league clubs more than anybody. But we've got a great ownership, Andy. You know, we just built, you know, a brand new stadium, training facility. As I say, you know, the next sort of 3 or 4 years progression of this club are going to be huge. And, you know, I want to help shape that and build it in a direction that I think that we can be continually be competitive, you know.
I was looking at your roster earlier, Inchi, and I have to say I scratched my head at the decision to trade Darwin Quintero. Was that a contentious decision?
Who have you been talking to? Yeah, it was at the time, he was our top goal scorer, but it's strange, guys, because you know when people tell you about being the manager of a club, people forget, if it was about making popular decisions, you never really do anything, but you have to make decisions that are going to help the club in the long term, and that was what we did. Darwin was far and away our best player, but the problem was that he was an individual and we couldn't really integrate him properly into any sort of system. But, hey, incredibly talented, one of the most talented players I've ever worked with. And we had a decision to make. He was out of contract. Do we, you know, re-sign him for 2 more years or do we now go in another direction? And I convinced the directors to go in another direction, which at the time, the only reason you've asked it is because you knew it was contentious.
No, actually, it's not. I promise you, I've dropped Lucky there because I genuinely am looking at a host of names. I was looking at some of the football you've been playing this past season, and he wasn't there. And then I genuinely looked at the roster and saw you'd traded him and thought, well, something's happened there. I mean, in fairness, Ethan Finlay's done really well for you, hasn't he?
Yeah, Ethan's done well. And the big one for us, fellas, was we signed a number 10 from Boca Juniors. Now, you know what that means down there in South America. And we paid $5 million for him last year. And he come in, Andy, and he's been unbelievable. And he does the oddest thing in football. And we all know what it is. You either score a goal or you make a goal. That's why they go for the most money. That's why they get paid the most money. And the guy's come in and been unbelievable. And he has taken the whole team up to another level. Mm. Now, what we've got to do now is start to put the right pieces around him. And if we can do that, he's only 24. If we can do that, then, you know, we've got ourselves a really special player for our league.
You haven't named him yet.
Can I interrupt you a minute, you? Because what I'm impressed with, Inchi, how the hell does Richard Keys know you, one player that plays for your club, let alone a couple?
By the way, I'm sorry, Michael Boxall.
Vito
Manone's been there up until recently. Come on. We all know that, don't we?
Andy, you know as well as I do, he spent the 2 hours I was waiting on the line reading up on what the squad was.
I'll tell you one I really like the look of. Emmanuel Reinson. I mean, there is a player. Yeah.
There you go. There's our $5 million player, Emmanuel Reynoso. And
yes.
We signed him from Boca Juniors last year.
Midfield player, I think I'll find. Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
number 10, Andy,
yeah.
You know.
A 10, yeah. And we need
about Kevin Molino? How's he doing?
Oh, no, he's gone on the same page.
Kevin Molino has been traded to the Columbus Crew. There you go. Up to date very, very quickly.
I'd have got rid of him, Inch. I never fancied him. I was about to say to you now, I'd have got shot of him right away. Well done.
Have you still got
especially
space?
Especially having the MVP season and scoring 12 goals last year.
Have you still got space on your roster? 19 out of 20 slots filled on the information I'm looking at.
On the senior roster, we've got 2 or 3 signings imminent, guys. You will be pleased to know that the roster will be full in the next couple of weeks.
That's very good.
We start pre-season, by the way, on Monday. So everybody's really excited.
That's very good.
In more general terms, MLS, you talked about it, it's getting better. You know, high-profile people like David Beckham getting involved now at the very top end and in the MLS. Is it progressing the way they want? Is the standard getting better quick enough for everybody in America?
Andy, you can't believe the trajectory that it's going upwards in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, we'd have never been able to buy the number 10 from Boca Juniors, you know, paid $5 million. Teams are paying £15-20 million for players now.
Wow. Okay.
And, you know, when I look at there's new stadiums. There's 3 brand new stadiums coming in next year. You know, so it's an incredible place to be at this moment in time because the growth in the game, not only on the field but off the field, is going through the roof. And now we get into, you know, we've got a new coach, the national team. fellow called Greg Berhalter, who I believe is a top, top level coach. And when you look at the young players, Andy, they, you know, the Pulisic, Weston McKennie at Juve, Brent Richards at Bayern. You know, you've got Alphonse Davies, the kid at Bayern Munich, who's, I know he's Canadian, but he's come through the system here, and Gio Reyna at Dortmund. This is a brand new era for a new group of players. And, you know, when Brian McBride was playing and Tim Howard and, you know, Claudio Reyna, they had that really good purple patch. This is the next stage for us. And honestly, the 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds are really some special players. And, the expectation for the national team has probably never been higher. And obviously, this group will probably be, Andy, I would think, the 2026, when the World Cup comes to the States, this will be the nucleus of that team, because they'll all be in their mid-20s.
Wow.
They're all playing for big clubs. So exciting times. It really is.
Just back on the Quintero trade, Ingy, and correct me if I'm wrong, we got Hairston in that deal.
Here we go.
Did he deliver what you were expecting him to do?
Oh, yeah, he did. He took us from... He gave us headlines. He put us on the back page in the newspapers. He put us on MLS, the website. He was, because he scored incredible goals. He made goals. But at the end of the day, we just decided that at his age, 32, 33, we thought we're going to move in a different direction, get a little bit younger, get a little bit more athletic. And it proved to be the right decision.
Right. And is Sean McCauley still working with you?
He is. He's in the room next door, listening to you.
Is he? Good.
I've always thought you need a good assistant, Keezy. Well done, son.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a recent contribution to a publication here. Sean McCauley says of the coach, he still shows off a bit. He still thinks he can play. The mind's there, but I don't think the legs are.
Wait, Richard, was he talking about Keezy, when I joined Everton?
Keezy, you were talking about... Keezy was then talking about the ex-assistant Minnesota United coach, Sean McCauley.
Honestly, I'm so genuinely into you. After everything you've been through, it's so good to hear you, as buoyant as you are. Family good as well, I understand. Daughter lives in Ipswich, does she not?
Yeah, she's down there. She's back in Manchester, actually, now with Will. And my son's playing football down in Miami. So got three grandkids now, but hey, life's good.
Will we should identify as Will Keane, yes?
Yes, twin brother of Mike from Everton.
Of course.
You know, we've kept it in the family, so football all round. But no, life's good, guys, you know, especially we're all fortunate, aren't we, with what's been going on the last year or so, to be
doing
a job that we all love and everybody's fit and healthy.
And Harrison's playing where? Miami?
Yeah, he's at Miami FC down in the USL, yeah.
Fabulous. Oh, that's great. Well, that's the catch-up. Can we now talk about our primary reason for calling, which is Everton? I mean, between the two of you, what a week it's been, eh?
Well, yeah, it's about time, wasn't it? The win at Anfield.
Yes.
It was an awful long time ago that we were talking about that, but no, it was a great weekend, and obviously the news about the stadium, whether you're, you know, pro or anti the stadium, it's great news that they've got it passed. And, you know, we've got a great manager. We've got some good players. And I think for the first time, I think Andy will probably agree that there's a lot of really good things happening at the club. And if we can continue to bring in some decent players, because I think that's going to be the next important thing to add to this group, you know, and then we'll see where we go. But we've certainly got a manager who can win. He's proved that if you give him the players, he can win.
Yeah, I think you're right, Inchy. For me, I think what we haven't got right for a few years was recruitment. And it's also important in a modern game that you get your recruitment right. Now, I think what Carlo's done, he's brought in a level of player that's been better than we've had. And they seem to have settled in, the vast majority of them. But what impressed me, Inchy, are you talking with your coach's hat on now? I just thought the manner of how he set us up, the way he nullified, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson, who are the prime suppliers of pretty much an awful lot of what Liverpool do, the way he set up the three centre-backs to cope with the three front men so that the two full-backs could look after their two full-backs. I just thought everything he did about round that was sensational, and always having the threat. You see, I don't know about you, but I was a bit worried when he picked James Rodriguez, I have to tell you, because I thought the game might be too quick for him. But it wasn't. But he played his part by setting up the goal early on. So you can't argue with anything Carlo did that night.
No, he was. I think the blueprint's been there for a few weeks. You know, when Burnley went there and defended deep and got plenty of bodies in and around their front three, you know, Brighton did the same. What I can't believe many teams haven't done, Andy, and I know it sounds easy now, is when they Liverpool play their three front men, they play them in between your back four. So it was when your fullbacks leave early, the big old thing to run into, and he took that away.
Yeah.
He said, okay, Trent Alexander-Arnold, you will be the responsibility down that left-hand side of Digne. On the other side, that will be you, Seamus. You deal with him, and now the back four can stay intact and have the extra body against their front three. And he did a great job of it.
Yeah, it was good. How far do you think, I mean, Carlo could take us now, Everton now? I mean, the news of the stadium is great news. And, you know, I think there was a lot of people thought that this is pie in the sky and it might not happen. Well, hopefully it's taken the stage.
Well, can I just, Andy, I mean, I don't want to pour cold water on this, but there is another hurdle yet. And that is that Robert Jenrick, who is the Secretary of State for the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government, has yet to give it final approval. Now, you know, that's not a done deal. It's to be hoped that that's the direction in which the club goes. But they've still got to find, they've still got to fund it, and that's an issue. Getting over the line as far as planning was concerned, great. But if it is part of liftoff, then the future is all of a sudden very different, isn't it?
Well, it is. But I think also, Rich, if you know, you look at the regeneration of that area of Liverpool, we've all lived there.
Mm.
That part's been neglected for so long. And if we can, you know, the club can build a brand new super stadium, you're talking about 15,000 jobs, regenerate all that area with shops, etc. It's got to be a good thing, surely, for the city.
Well, I would like to think so, but that doesn't necessarily follow that a Tory government might agree, does it?
Maybe not, but
I'm going to err on the side of positive.
I think it'll go through,
me
and
too.
I think it could be a catalyst for the club to move on. The big one, Andy, is, and you touched on it earlier, no matter who you are, whatever level you play at, if your recruitment's no good, you can have the best manager in the world. And the recruitment hasn't been good enough in the past. And now all of a sudden, there's, you know, they brought people in, I think, actually can play and compete at the highest level in the Premier League. The next three or four signings are going to be huge. Because what we don't want to happen, and I think I'm talking for every Evertonian here, you're spending half a billion on a new stadium, but then you can't put any players on the pitch.
Yes.
You've got to be able to do both at the same time.
Well, I think the tough thing is doing both at the same time, Mitch, but if you're asking me, what do I want to see first from Everton? I want to see a team first. I couldn't give a monkey's where they're playing. I mean, I could, and generally, but what I'm saying is, if I'm watching a team qualified for the Champions League and contesting to win a title in the next 3 or 4 years, or do I want to see that, or do I want to see a team wallowing in 10th and getting a stadium built? I think it's a tough call for me, and I want to see a team winning stuff before I want to see a stadium, a nice new stadium with a team not good enough to play in it. That's my only problem with that.
I think you're perfectly right in what you're saying. I think everybody would have said the same. And the other thing, and I think this is so important, Rich, you know, I can think of Wenger, Mourinho, that Philippe Scolari talking about the atmosphere at Goodison Park.
Mm.
They've got to maintain something. They've got. I've not been fortunate enough yet to see the Tottenham Stadium, where everybody tells me it's fabulous. They've kept it really tight and compact. The one thing for me is, if you're going to move stadium, you better do everything you can to try and recreate that atmosphere, because, you know, in America, it's a bit like saying Wrigley Park or Fenway Park, we're going to knock it down. Well, you better have a good explanation why, and you better come up with something that people go, oh, now I see why we've done it. And I think that's going to be the really important thing for the club.
Yeah. Inchi, let me take you back to...
Inchi.
Sorry, Andy, let me just change direction. I want to go back to Santa Monica. When was it, Andy? 2010? And we sat in a bar, all three of us, and you made the point, how many of today's footballers would get into the great sides of the 60s and the 70s. And that stuck with me. I've to the point where by last night I was thinking about it again. And you know what? There aren't that many still, are there?
Well, I think the greatest generation of footballers for me was late 60s, 70s players, the ones that a lot of guys I grew up watching. And when I look at, if you went back to that Leeds team, I always say this, you go back to the teams Liverpool had, even Everton, Harvey Ball and Kendall, really? You know, England's right back, England's left back, England's goalkeeper, England's centre-half, Brian LeBone. You go through all them eras, and I know the game's changed, and hey, it's changed incredibly for the better in most parts, but I look at some of the players now, when I look at Bestlaw and Charlton and all these people at Man United, you know, Liverpool, hey, it was an incredible era for players, wasn't it, guys?
Well, you see, I text Andy earlier. I said, just put your mind to it. A greatest Everton 11, for instance, just off the top of my head last night, I went Neville, either Stevens or Tommy Wright, but you know, either or. Brian LeBone has to go in. Ratters probably because he captained a very, very good side. Ray Wilson, World Cup winner. Ball, yeah. Harvey Kendall. I'm sorry, Reedy, but the Holy Trinity. Yeah. And then
Reedy's not happy.
Joe Royal or Sharpie. Alex Young. And I want a winger. So I was kind of thinking, well, you know, maybe Dave Thomas, who most Evertonians have probably forgotten all about. But, you know, there's nothing from the modern era, is there?
No. But I said this to you that night you were on about it at Santa Monica. You go through all the clubs now. How many players get in Liverpool's great team of Anson Lawrence and Doug Leash?
That's a better one. And she, let me check, that's a better one to judge than Keyes it with an Everton. Everton have not had the success, really. So it's hard to justify putting any of the modern-day players in the team. But let's say this Liverpool side have won the Champions League and they've won the Premier League after 23 years, whatever. So how many players do you think, Inchi, from this Liverpool side that won the league last year would get in the great Liverpool side that you were talking about?
I put two in, by the way. There you go. I put two in mine. I'll give it to you in a minute.
Well, I tell you...
Well, I know who your two would be, I think.
I think Alisson's a very good goalkeeper. I know he's been bad the last few weeks and he has cost him goals, but I think since he's been at Liverpool, he's been excellent. Whether I'd have him enough to be better than Clem is another thing. Certainly, Lawrenson and Hansen play all the time. Van Dijk, people might go, okay. But in terms of the length of period of time that Anthony and Lawrenson delivered for Liverpool is incredible. Tunes gets in. Dalglish always gets in. Yes. Ian Rush gets in.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, I agree.
I've just named
I agree.
There you go.
Six or seven there, and I'm not even really thought about it.
See, I'll give you mine.
You must put Terry Mack in. Well, Terry Mack could be in there. 20 goals a season from midfield.
Let me just give you mine, Andy. I sat there last night. I went Clem, Phil Neal, Hansen and Van Dijk. I know that's two left-footers, but we'll deal with it. Robertson, who I think has been magnificent for them. Stevie G, Terry Mack, Souness, John Barnes, Rush and Dalglish. There you go. Nothing from the...
Hey, by the way, I'd even forgot Barnsley.
Oh, what a player. What a player.
No, and by the way, I remember being out one night and Kenny Dalglish saying he might think Barnsley might be the best player ever played for Liverpool.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Wow.
I mean, what a player. Yeah. Manchester United, Schmeichel. I'm going Dennis Irwin at right back. Vidic and Ferdinand, because I want Everett at left back. Three in midfield, Keane, Scholes, Robson. And up top, Dennis Law in the middle, Ronaldo right, Best left. Beat that.
No chance.
No Bobby Charlton.
Scholesy, infinitely better.
Andy, what time is it over there? Have you been out early for an early one?
Seriously, think about it. Think, Bobby Charlton.
No, Bobby Charlton.
No, we get a bit romantic about the past. Scholesy, best player the Premier League's ever seen, has to be in the middle of Manchester United's midfield. Has to be. Wonderful footballer.
No gigs.
Not well. Instead of Best, no chance. No chance.
That's Laura Charlton.
Well, I've got Laura in. I've got Laura and Best in.
I love Robbo. I love Brian Robson. I love Robbo. But you can't have Robbo in before Bobby Charlton, surely.
Yes, you can. Because Robbo's going to give you that. Bobby Charlton, listen, you talk to Dennis Law and he'll tell you even now how many times he thought that there was an opportunity and then Bobby would, you know, Rose Ed. Yeah.
Oh, Rosé. Yeah. Not very often.
Rosé this time, and then one in the top corner with his left foot, and then one in the top corner with his right foot. For his 20th goal of the season, and
are you putting him in instead of Scholesy?
No.
I might put Scholes in alongside Bobby Charlton.
Then you've got to leave either Best, Law, or Ronaldo out.
No. You put Charlton in your midfield.
Then leave Keane out.
No, leave Robbo out.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that why is it that so many modern day players do not get in our best ever 11s when they've got everything going for them now?
I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you too.
Go on.
Are you leaving Fred out? Are you leaving McTominay out?
Don't like you to be funny.
McTominay and Fred? Well, my God.
You see, this is what I mean. Why is that, Inchy? Why is it?
In terms of individuals, I keep going back to it. When I grew up, even at Stoke City and places like that, I grew up watching individuals who could turn up. Alan Hudson would get in any team in the Premier League now.
Correct.
Any team in the Premier League now, he would get in the midfield.
Yes.
Wow.
And yet nobody even talks about it. But every club had players like that.
Yeah.
I remember saying to you, Don Rogers was playing for England when he was playing at Swindon in the third division.
Swindon, I know. But here's one for you then. I would say, if you look at it, great teams, if you look at teams now that have come on, how many Manchester City modern-day players then would get in their best team? Because there must be what they've done over the last 5, 6 years, whatever it is. They must have a few up their batting to get into the... What was the last great Man City team in the 60s?
Mm. Yeah, 70s. Obviously, Colin Ball, Somerby,
The modern City team, that would be full of modern day players, I think.
Kyle,
probably it would be.
De
Bruyne,
Walker, or Book.
Huh?
Walker or Book?
Hey, Tony Book used to be able to do the scissors when he was 62 years of age in training.
I'm glad we called. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll tell you something else. Just again, off a tangent, Inge. I had no idea until I was looking through the records today that you spent time at Aston Villa.
Not me.
Yeah. Well, I actually got there. I went there and came back from Spain. Started the first two games, and did a hamstring for the first time in my career, and that was when they went on that sort of 21 game unbeaten run when they finished, was it second, Andy? They finished under Graham Taylor.
Yeah.
When it was David Platt and Ormondroyd and a little Tony Daly and, you know, Kent Nielsen at the back. They had a good team. And then I had the opportunity to go to Man City with Howard again. So Upton left. But no, it was one of them. I hardly played at the Villa. I think I played 9 games in all. And, but it was, as Andy will tell you, a great club. And great to see him back in the Premier League where they belong, because the Premier League's a better league with the likes of Aston Villa in it.
And the other one, Andy, which I didn't realise, I was obviously on Merseyside at the time, Inch, when you arrived, didn't realise you'd worked with Howard previously at Stoke, and obviously that's where he pulled, at the time, as he described, new Kevin Keegan from. But I had no idea of that.
Hey, here's a story for you. Hey, I was looking after Howard Kendall's boots at Stoke City, and they always said to me, if you get the opportunity, I'm going to, you know, and I go on to management, I want to be a manager at Everton Football Club, I'll take you with me. So I always tell this story. I get there, Andy, the second day, and the Echo, PZ, described me as...
Did you the what?
The
what
paper?
Yeah, all right.
Come on, then.
I'm trying to tell you a funny story.
Yeah, okay, so we're with you. Echo. We're with you. Right. Okay, go on.
So the Echo described me as a cross between Alan Ball and the Golden Vision.
Oh, my goodness.
Colin Harvey took it and he went across between Alan Ball and the Golden Vision and looked at me going, you're going to have to be some player, son. I thought, oh, no pressure there, guys.
Funny.
So going there for all that money and not playing very well was not really much of a cross between Alan Ball and the Golden Vision, you know. But thankfully it got better, and the rest they say is history. But I'm sure Andy will say that we were fortunate to play with a group of guys that was probably the envy of any player. I wouldn't change that group of people to getting players for anybody. Perfect, great.
No,
great,
not me. 100%.
Great group of guys to play with and to be with.
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed catching up, and I'm really sorry that I got the sum's wrong this morning. But I'm working from sort of Middle Eastern to the UK from there, and then anyway, I'm glad we finally got it together, and I'm so pleased it's going
anyway,
as well as
Keezy,
it is for you.
Don't worry. I would have given Inchie a chance to clean his drive anyway for these few hours he's been waiting on us, so don't worry about that.
Hey, listen, while we're on here, I've got one quick question
go
for
on.
You two. You're out in the Middle East here. How's this World Cup going to go down?
Sensational. I promise you. Absolutely sensational, Inchie. Do not believe what a whole raft of British media has fed you for as long as they have. And listen, I get it. I understand why 2018 was the one that they'd set their heart on, didn't get it, went to Russia. Therefore, 2022 was their target. I'm looking out of a window on a glorious evening, and temperatures will be about 22, 24 degrees. Stadia are magnificent. Infrastructure is mind-blowing. People in this part of the world, despite what you're fed, generous. Honestly, I cannot speak highly enough of the country and of what I believe will be the best World Cup ever. I can see four stadiums from where I'm sitting at the minute. You can watch three games in a day. You can arrive as a team and stay in one hotel for a month if you're lucky enough to be here. It's funny, actually, I was talking to Arsene Wenger for beIN Sports this week, and Arsene said, what a missed opportunity that if we'd seriously give it some consideration, and it would take a lot of people to agree to something quite different, how wonderful it would have been to start a season in the UK in March and end in November. And then we've got a World Cup in December. It could all have been done, but as for a World Cup, honestly, and the allegation, Andy, I'm sure you'll say the same thing. They pay you. So you're going to say that. I don't have to. I say it because it's true.
No,
it would be sensational.
We don't, Richard. No, listen, Andrew, we've lived there for 8 years, and we've watched a country grow up, basically, a country be built, and towards the league. And I kind of say, listen, I hear a lot of people talk about Qatar and Doha and whether it deserves a World Cup. Make no mistake about it, it does. And it's gone out of its way to show it does. What I will say is anyone who has a doubt, come and have a look. And then once you've been in, then make a judgment on it. But I agree with it.
Yeah.
I think the World Cup will be fantastic. And I don't think you have to worry
about anything. I think I speak for everybody on the outside. Is we're all ready for it, aren't we, with what we've just been through. And I just want it to be the success that the World Cup is. And if it brings the world game to that part of the world, who knows where it's going to go. So, like everybody, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait for the World Cup. I love the World Cup and, looking forward to it.
So many of the guys, Inchie, that you would know, press, our mates in the press, and I've said to so many so often, come and see us. The only thing anyone's ever asked of you here would be tell the truth. Just tell people what you see. And I always get the same response. Well, I can't. And why? Because that's not the editorial line of the paper. Well, then what's the point?
Exactly.
I mean, it's this, every time, and it's so tedious. You live in a country where homosexuality is illegal. Really? No, it's 2021. And if that is the case, I've seen no evidence of it in the time I've been here. It's myth upon myth It's a fantastic, vibrant little place, and I genuinely think it will be spectacular. And anybody around the Bay in the States there, you can tell them that as well.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I'm looking forward to bunking up at Shea Keys and Gray's pad, because the season will be over in America, and I'm going to enjoy coming over and ruining your 2 or 3 weeks in the sun.
Inchi, I extend that invitation to you now.
You won't ruin it. You'll enhance it for me, son.
I will take Inchi, Andy, if you have Reedy.
Oh, God, are you sure?
Yeah.
Can we not toss for that?
No, you know you always, get the...
You know who's having the best bet there. Don't yes, worry about that.
Inchi, I repeat what I said 10 minutes ago before we went on. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Really appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
Honestly, great to talk.
See you later, big man. See you all. Take
talk
care, guys.
Soon, son. Thanks, pal.
Cheers,
thanks,
Inchi. Mate. Brilliant. What a good guy. I say it every week with people that have joined us, Andy. Oh. What a good guy. Nice to talk about what he's doing, and he sounds so buoyant, doesn't he?
Well, he is, Richard, because he's such a brilliant. I mean, the league below the MLS that they played in last year, he'd been coach of the year for the two consecutive years prior to getting into the MLS, and they had such a fantastic season this season as well. I'm amazed he hasn't had more column inches in the UK with what he's achieved as a Brit abroad, so to speak. But, you know, he went there, as you say, committed himself and his family to go to the States. And I have to say, you know, there are players who surprise you. I never got the impression he was going to be a coach, but then he became Reedy's assistant. I think he worked with Reedy for a bit as well. And now he's got on his own there. I think he's done an absolutely sensational job. He surprised me, the wee man, but pleasantly surprised.
He'd have done us a turn, Andy, at Coventry. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that didn't work out.
Yeah, he would have.
Champions, talking about World Cups in Qatar, briefly, I'd like your thoughts on a couple of stories this week. Champions League final could be held in New York as UEFA plan a drastic change, including 36 teams from 2024. You see, there you go. That's the 39th game, isn't it? Really, that's what the Premier League or Scudamore was trying to get over the line all those years ago. Said it would happen, and it looks like it's going to. But that would be quite something, wouldn't it? Would you be for or against?
So the Champions League final in New York.
Yes.
So the tournament that involves Europe's best.
Yes.
They're going to take the final from Europe and play it in North America.
That's correct. As they do the Italian Cup, which we've seen played here in Qatar.
Yeah, Italian Cup. I get it. I get National Cup, Keezy. But this is a European title, a European trophy. No, not for me. If we can't find a stadium that deserves the Champions League in Europe, then we're doing something wrong.
Of course we can. But this is a conversation we've had so often. This is another step in the direction of the game becoming more worldly, if you like, an extended World Club Cup under FIFA. These are all, for me, we won't be around to see it, but it's the direction it's going. Taking a Champions League final to New York, I mean, what a very clever marketing ploy. It's an inevitability, I think, that we'll go in that direction.
Not for me. Sorry. You're right. We won't be around. Probably I won't be, because I just don't get it. I get the odd game going there from Premier Leagues and other leagues and playing there, and the odd Super Cup final maybe going somewhere it shouldn't, or a country it's not playing in. But a major tournament, the biggest European club tournament there is, we take it from Europe and stick it in North America for the final. No. And that'll be interesting to see how many people will be allowed to go and watch that who want to from Europe, the two teams that actually want to play there.
It will probably be the same as go now, but obviously UEFA, FIFA, American delegates, you know, audience for the rest of the world. That's what we're looking at now, isn't it? There's only one way to expand what we've got, Andy, and that is to look beyond our borders. And that's a very good way of doing it.
If we're not careful, Keezy, though, we're going to expand this. And if it's an elastic band, eventually you can expand an elastic band. Yeah, you can keep stretching it and keep stretching it, and it will go, and it will go so far. And then one day...
You're quite pleased with that analogy, aren't you?
I am quite pleased with that, actually. But that's what worries me about football.
Yeah.
Is that it suddenly snaps, and then, oh, where do we go from here?
Yeah, I know, I understand that. All things being equal, hopefully, if it is the case that it's only the last day of the season that supporters are allowed back into grounds, I do hope that that is the case. We've all waited long enough. Never mind sporting integrity. There'll be a club somewhere, I'm sure, complaining about that as an issue, were it to happen. But I just think we want people back in the grounds, don't we?
Well, speaking as a Rangers fan, I'd love to Ibrox to be rammed when we get presented with the 55th title in our illustrious history. That would be extremely welcoming for Rangers fans. So in that respect, that would be fantastic, Keezy. I guess every club would like to say hello to their fans before the season comes to a close, and or thank you to the fans for their patience.
55th?
55th.
Not first?
Get off. Listen, you've upset hosts of fans up and down the country. Right? Now, you don't want to go upsetting Rangers fans as well, especially when one of them sits beside you most weekends.
Right. I think that's just about it. I mean, brilliant talking to Inchi. I'm glad we got him involved as early as we did. If you want to get in touch, do please at Keys and AND, Keys and Grey Pod. You can follow us on Insta and Twitter, and wherever you get your pods from. If you subscribe, then obviously we will arrive on a regular basis in time for you to listen on most Saturday mornings, that is. And now you've found us, tell your mates. Thank you for wherever you are in the world joining us, and keep it coming. In parting, Andy, wish you all the very best for the weekend, because I know you're under the knife.
Thank you, son.
And I hope that we're able to talk to you next Friday.
Oh, well, I would suspect you will be definitely talking to me next Friday, son. I'll be up and about. I might just have a quick fitness test, but I expect myself to be ready for action next Friday.
I'll speak with you then. See
you. All right, Paul. Ciao.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.